Good afternoon, Muskegon. It's August 14, 2026. Hi, my name is Gregory Roberts. Welcome to Community Focus. I'm one of your hosts, and on to my right,
Melvin C. Barnes II.
Welcome. How are you doing today? It's a great day. It's nice and sunny, and just it's a great day. How about the weather, sir?
As you said, it is a beautiful day out. On Friday the 14th, today we had a low of 65, high of 84. Sun is fighting its way through. Tomorrow we have a 75% chance of rain, low 68, high of 79. Sunday, 65% chance of rain, low 70, high of 81. The sun comes back in full force on Monday with a low of 63, high of 78. Tuesday, partly cloudy, low 67, high of 79. Next Wednesday, 70% chance of rain, low 65, high of 77. And next Thursday, the sun peeks its way through the clouds, low 59, high of 72.
So I don't know about you, but those elections came through. Wow.
Man, things are happening. You know, we like to sit down and analyze things. What's your big take?
You know, I'm still working on it. I still think that people are upset with one party.
Yeah.
But they ain't too happy with the other.
I think that's a good assessment. You know, the primaries sometimes they don't tell us a whole lot because they're telling us about each party. So I think your assessment is 100% on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people are tired. But anyway, we talked about the weather.
Yep.
All right, let's get into the show. Who is our first guest?
You want my five list? You want to wait till the end?
Oh, yeah, five list.
Okay, all right.
My five.
So my five list, as you all have gotten so used to anticipating, with 2 weeks to go till school starts, how about five things that parents can do to make sure they're getting ready for the school year? Number one, adjust the sleep schedules for the kids and practice the morning ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, go over your school supplies list and create a workspace at home for homework. Number three, talk about expectations and build some excitement for the school year. Number four, read to your kids every day. Hopefully you've been doing that all summer, but if you haven't, you got 2 weeks to go. And let's start ratcheting down that screen time, getting ready for the school year.
That's good.
And number five, if you can, the schools will have orientations. Go to the school, look at the classroom. If you're driving the kids to school, try a couple of routes, see how long it's going to take you to get there. So you're ready for that first day. And then, you know, just work with the kids. If they're nervous, they're starting a new school, a new grade, just help them with that anxiety so they're ready to get the school year off on a good start.
That's good, man, especially with this construction. You better know where you're going.
Better get you a route.
The sixth thing I'm going to add to that list is parents, throw your belts away.
Don't take them to school with you.
Don't take the belts to school with you.
You mean belts for their pants is what you're talking about, right?
Nah, belts for their pants. Okay. Anyway, our guest today.
All right. The guest I'm going to admit is a friend of mine, but he's a producer, director, writer, author from the city of Detroit.
Yes.
He is the producer and director of The Great Detroit. It was, it is, it will be. He's an author, historian. Will you join me in welcoming back to the program, Anthony Brogdon?
How you doing, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, good to have you here. Again, we had you a couple of years ago. Been looking forward to getting you back. Tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a native of Detroit. Actually, Mr. Burns knows me because we went to college together at Oakland University. He got better grades than I did. And that's a good thing. And I've been in Detroit pretty much all my life, except for 5 years. I lived in Atlanta right after college. And then I moved back to Detroit, and I have a company that I started back in 1989, I would say, called Multi-Business Concepts, where I did a number of things, and probably the longest was for 13 years I was in merchandising, where I would bring in items for conventions from Asia. So I went to Hong Kong quite often. And then my passion for writing just broke through. And I've been doing that since probably about 2010. In some form or fashion, doing stage plays, a couple of documentaries, and writing books.
Okay. So what is The Great Detroit?
Well, The Great Detroit is a documentary. I use the hashtag. Some say it's the finest documentary ever made about Detroit.
Okay.
I didn't say it. Someone sent that message to me. And it's 55 people telling the whole story, starting with how and why Detroit was founded, how it became a manufacturing powerhouse, the history of Motown, the landscape of the city with our riverfront and parks, Belle Isle. It talks about all the annual events that happen here. And then it ends with the plans for a brighter future by a Detroit entity called Detroit Future City. And so I think it's a good film, and I love it. It took me 3 years to do it. It first came out in 2011, and then I did a revision, no, 2014, 2011 when I started, and then I did a revision in 2017. And since then, it's toured to about 40 or more venues around the Metro Detroit area, including Grand Rapids at the Wealthy Theater, including in Toronto and London, England.
Okay. Can you still hear us, Tony?
Yes.
Okay. We lost a little visual. Okay.
There you go.
We lost a visual. One reason we have you on the program, other than this great film, is people get an opportunity kind of locally here to see The Great Detroit. You want to tell folks about that?
Well, yes. When you talk about the program, this coming August 20th, there's a show in Holland at 12 noon, a screening of the film, and then also in Grand Rapids at their main libraries. And that's at 5 o'clock, 5:30 in Grand Rapids. And so they'll get to see the film in its entirety, 75 minutes. And then there's Q&A with me, because I will be in attendance. Yes.
Anthony, I've been privileged to travel down to Detroit for years, and I've seen so much progress. Tell the people out there what Detroit is and what Detroit is not.
Well, Detroit is a vibrant city. It is a city that has a rich history. In the 1950s, we were the fifth largest city in America, had 1.8 million people living within our boundaries. It's a city known for cars and manufacturing, for music with Motown. It is known for the decline, because we did hit a low in around the late 1990s, 2010s, but now it's known for the comeback. Okay. And as a result of that, people who come to the city are in many respects very surprised at the vibrancy that they see with the new construction and with the love of the people as we greet our neighbors in some form or fashion.
Okay. Do you find people, like you're going to be in Holland and Grand Rapids, do you find people outside of Detroit are interested in the story of Detroit?
I do. When it was in Toronto, it was sold out in a venue that probably held close to about 450 people.
Wow.
Where we even had to have a second show.
Okay.
And because at the time, and this is probably around 2015, 16, Detroit was getting hit pretty hard in the media. The comeback had not really been realized, and people were curious. A lot of people had heard of us because, again, of Motown and the cars. We're the car manufacturing capital of the world. But then I think that decline really put us on the map from a negative perspective. And people were just interested to see, well, what is this anomaly of a city that, at one point was, again, one of the fifth largest in America. And I've long said it's probably in the top four or five most known U.S. cities across the world because of the things that I mentioned.
So what are some of the most common misperceptions you run across as you meet people today and you talk about Detroit to show your documentary?
Well, probably understandably, and I say the reason why, and then I'll tell you what that is. At one point, we had 1.5 million people. We're at a population of about half of that. So we're about 700,000. Mm-hmm. So when you got 1.5 million, you got homes and apartments and so on and so forth, complexes where people live, and businesses and neighborhoods and things of that sort. So when you lose half of your population, there are a lot of vacant homes, boarded up buildings, and some of that still is today, but a lot of the homes have been torn down. And so now there's a lot of vacant land that people are now using for urban farming. So one of the things that, understandably to your question, it is and still has some of that blight, but it's slowly but surely going away.
Okay. You talk about the comeback that's taking place. Talk to people who don't know what the comeback is, what it looks like, and what's happening in Detroit today.
What a comeback looks like, I would say about 10 years or more ago, people began to invest in Detroit. Not just people of white nationality, but black people also. We had a more stable city government. We had a couple hiccups with the mayor, one in particular, and that stabilized. And then we have the infrastructure for things to continue to grow. And so as a result, we now have our first skyscraper. There is the Renaissance Center for many years, 50 years or so, was Michigan's largest and tallest building. It has been exceeded by the Hudson Place, which once was the location for Hudson's Department Store, which had closed many years ago. And then there's a lot of development, renovations of downtown office buildings and in neighborhoods and business districts. There's things like our riverfront has become nationally known as the number one riverfront in America. We have a park right in the heart of downtown called Campus Martius that also has received awards for being one of the number one, urban parks in a city like of its sort. And so you see, they've cleaned up some alleys. I mean, this is amazing. There are alleys downtown that they've cleaned up that are the entrance ways for restaurants and bars and various events to happen. So it just has taken almost a 360 degree turn, and people are now beginning to move into the city. New vitality, not just young, but old, middle-aged people are taking advantage of this new housing, and the prices are still relatively reasonable.
How did you get people to buy into, and we want to thank people who took an interest in Detroit, but I remember going down there when there were buildings boarded up, or I remember you could shoot a cannon and not hit anyone. And I remember that blight. But now you go down to Detroit, there it's lively. People are walking from business to business to home. Talk about that new change.
Well, the new change is, to me, it's very welcome because I am here and I want to have good fun things to do. We like say that the riverfront now has several parks. There's one park, Ralph Wilson Park, which has all kind of playscapes and concert, little concert stages and basketball courts. It's a beautiful riverfront that is just fabulous. We have a thing called the DeQuinda Cut, which used to be an abandoned railroad a route that is probably one or two stories below street level that people now use to walk in trails, and there's events that happen there. I mentioned the alleys that have been converted, and there's just a more concerted effort. And so, yeah, that you're right, man. I remember those days when, like you say, you could almost shoot a cannon downtown. But if you come here any day in particular, I would say the weekend, but even maybe starting on Wednesday and Thursday, it's people walking miles up and down our main thoroughfare of Woodward Avenue, specifically when we got a basketball game, and then we've moved, the Detroit Pistons are now downtown, and they play in a new stadium that's probably 10 years old with the Detroit Red Wings, the Detroit Lions. Lo and behold, they've won a playoff game in the last 10 years. And we think that, and we pray that they keep that momentum going into this upcoming season. And we have coming up real soon, one of the nation's largest free, I said free, jazz festival. That's Labor Day weekend with some of the biggest names, both national and international artists performing. And so when you come down here, you'll say, wow, man, and we got hotels, new hotels. So there's different places to stay. So when you come down here, you'll be like, man, this is, I'll be back. Not just me saying it, but I've had other people, and that's the new moniker of our city.
How does it feel? Because we were down and we did that. We went down an alley, and there were several doorways to get into museums, restaurants, yes, just down one alley. That alley 10 years ago, you didn't dare go through.
Right. And so you say, how does it feel? It feels good because I'm proud of this town. You know, I've over the years, have traveled a lot, both nationally and internationally. And I had to defend Detroit, you know. Mm-hmm. Where you from? I'm from Detroit. Oh, man. And then people would go into their story about what they heard. And you know, at one point we were, if not number one, in the top four or five in crime statistics. All that has kind of subsided to some degree. We're not that high. And so I had to tell them, no, man, that's not my town. And at the back of my mind, I knew that some of it was true. Still slanted, still to say, but I feel good. Now they're saying, hey, I'm coming to Detroit. You know, when is a good time? And it makes you poke your chest out and say, hey, this is the great Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, I kind of got exposed to Detroit people, you know, back in the early 80s in my time down in Oakland. But how would you describe Detroit people to folks not from there?
Well, you know, it's funny. It's almost like if you've been a whooping boy all your life and you know that that's not true, you take that as a sense of pride. Okay. I'll have to say this also, with Detroit being a majority African-American community, that gave us a sense of pride knowing that, you know, probably as far back as the 1960s, we had an African-American mayor who was a staunch supporter of the community, minority community, and the community at large. So we are pretty excited to know that, I mean, that's still the case, that African-Americans still have a foothold here and have not lost that. But now there's more influence. We did have a white mayor for a number of years, and that helped in the turnaround. We're now returned to an African-American mayor, our first lady. Mm-hmm. And she's so far has done quite a significant job in keeping the momentum. And then, you know, we got a great school system. I mean, I was fortunate enough to go to what I would say one of America's number one public high schools by the name of Cass Technical High School. But it's not the only one of that moniker. And some of the other school systems have improved through the efforts of the Detroit Public School Administration. And so, you know, we all, I'm sure, are happy to come from this town. And we're more happy that now there's this comeback.
I'll tell you, when they had the NFL draft down in Detroit, I couldn't be any prouder of Detroit. And now they're talking about coming back to Detroit. It really showed Detroit coming together and pulling off a major event.
Well, you're exactly right. And I attended a number of the, you know, parts of that celebration. And I mean, it was great, man. I mean, they really did a good job, you know, setting up the space where, you know, the people congregated. For the most part, I guess there was no incidents of anything happening from a violent standpoint. So we, you know, controlled that, which that could happen in almost any major city. I think the weather was good. So the gods were with us in that regard. And people wanted to come. I mean, we had probably one of the largest attendance in the draft because people had heard of this comeback and had heard of Detroit. They wanted to see it. And Detroit put their best foot forward.
Awesome. Tony, Anthony, let me ask you to switch hats for just a second. You've been doing something for decades. And one of the things we do in this program, we got a lot of young people who are entrepreneurs just starting off in their business. And we love to have them on and encourage them and share their experiences. You've been out there for a few decades as an entrepreneur. Talk to young people who are thinking, you know, of taking that risk of leaving that job, that secure paycheck every week. Give them some advice and encouragement if they're thinking about it and thinking of jumping out there.
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is, man, you got to decide if you got the tenacity to undertake this venture, because it is risky. But then you also have to say to yourself, this is the one way that I can control my destiny. And that was always something I felt about it, no matter how things were going at the time. It was up to me to make the decision of how I could find a way to earn a living being self-employed. So I will admit I've had to pivot many times. This filmmaking is new. I mean, it wasn't what I went to school for. So I would tell somebody to get started. And then your passion, if you don't find it initially, will, because you're stuck with it, will come to focus. And then follow through. I mean, it took 3 years to do the Great Detroit. And about a year, it sat on the shelf because I ran out of money. Mm-hmm. But I never forgot that this was something that I truly wanted to do. So I would tell young people, get started, write it down, think it through, find people who can assist you with some of their knowledge and expertise. And don't worry about the money, because that usually does come some form of fashion somehow. Look for grants and things of that sort. Look for people that you can impress with your vision, that they will be impressed enough to invest with you. Start small if necessary. You know, people say, well, why'd you start with a documentary? Because I do want to do feature length films. Documentaries are a little less expensive to do. I hired a crew, but I didn't have to pay actors. And that taught me a lot in terms of doing this production. So that's another angle. I mean, I always don't think shooting for the biggest, shoot for little bits, and just get started and don't quit.
We're getting to the bottom of the hour. When talking to those 55 different Detroiters, was there a common theme that you found with those 55?
Well, when I say 55 people, these are people in most instances that were the executive director of whatever entity they had that I wanted to have in the film. So, and they all had a love for Detroit, understandably. So, you know, like, for example, one of them is the guy who ran the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame. Another one was the gentleman who ran the Eastern Market. Or another one was a lady who's a historian for Belle Isle. Another one was a guy whose father moved to Detroit to work in one of the automobile plants. And he talks about how that really made Detroit a great town and how it provided for his family. So I was lucky to find them. There were some people who, you know, decided they didn't want to be in it, not knowing of the professionalism that I would be able to deliver, I guess. But then I found those who could replace that same type of talk. All of them wanted to promote what they were doing and say something positive. And so that was probably the common thread. But I got to admit, and I couldn't have been realistic if I didn't say a little bit about the decline in Detroit. And I just kind of blamed that on, at one point, there were three automakers, the Ford, the Chrysler, the General Motors, that most all Americans had to choose from. And then the foreign car companies came on board. And so now we were choosing their cars, which led to a loss of business for the American car companies and jobs, and people started leaving Detroit. So I tell a little bit about that. I show a couple of the buildings that are blighted, but I don't say much on that regard because the film is The Great Detroit.
Okay. Anthony, with a little time we got left, you're showing the film on Thursday, the 20th of August, Highland Library, 12 noon, Grand Rapids Library, 5 p.m. Give folks your best pitch invitation to come out and see the documentary.
Well, the best pitch is it's The Great Detroit. If you've been here, you're going to learn something that you did not know about this city. If you've never been here, you're going to learn a lot that you did not know. And what makes us the great city we are, you're going to hear about the some of the little known facts of man-made islands and Kiwanis International being founded in Detroit. Techno Museum was started here in Detroit. And so you might not have known that. You're going to see the beauty of our landscape with the United States being separated by the Detroit River from Canada. You're going to walk out and a few people say something funny in the film. And about their love of the city. And I guess maybe it might make you feel, well, if Detroit can do it, your town can too.
There you go. So
you have that, you know, something to hang your hat on. But come on out, get a chance to meet me. You know, I'm going to be there and I can answer some questions as one of the ambassadors for the city as a result of the film. And then lastly, I do have a coloring book titled The Great Detroit, and you can get you a copy of that. It's 36 pictures. It's all the museums, it's all the statues, the riverfront, sports teams, so on and so forth. And then you'll walk away with a good feeling of something that has turned around, was once great, had a little hiccup, turned around, and then you also say, if I'm looking for a vacation spot or a new place to live, maybe Detroit is that for me.
There you go.
All right.
Anthony, we want to thank you for being on the show. And we'll have you back on soon to update us about a city that we love.
One more thing. The title of the website, thegreatdetroit.com. Thegreatdetroit.com. And if you can't make it to the showings, it is streaming on Amazon.
There you go.
All right.
Yeah, we got to get that in.
All right.
See you next week, Tony.
Hey, thank
all
you.
Right, there, Anthony. Wow. And, you know, being able to see it, because we used to go down for years. We went out every year. It's cool.
It's amazing how it was transformed.
All right. It's the bottom of the hour. Excuse me. Well, that shows our sponsors some love. Matter of fact, if you would like to be a sponsor, you could be a sponsor. Call 231-727-5007. X for Janae, Q89, or Big Rob. All right, we're going to show them some love. We'll see you in a couple minutes. Welcome back to Community Focus on 103.7 to BM106 and all social media. Just one quick thing. Next Friday will be our 6th anniversary to the date, August 21st. I started in COVID time, and so we're going to be celebrating that next week.
Not celebrate COVID.
Okay. No.
All right. Folks, welcome back to the program. I want to introduce our next two guests. And you want to listen, if you're thinking about home ownership, this is the program for you. Next to Greg on my left, we have Kim Starks, who is the CEO of the Equity Empowerment Center. Kim, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Those of you in Muskegon, you probably know my guest to my immediate left. This is Jay Kilgo, Muskegon City Commissioner and your community agent.
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
All right. Let's start off. Let's tell folks about the program coming up, and then we'll talk a little bit more about home ownership and your training.
Yes. Again, thank you for having us. Our program is the Equity Empowerment Program. It is the flagship program of the Equity Empowerment Center. And what it is, it's a mortgage readiness program where we found out about the number of denials that were happening in the state of Michigan. Mm-hmm. And first-time homeowners were looking to buy a house. And because of the barriers, we put together this program. And it's a six-week program where we come in and we help everybody overcome those barriers. So what we did, we built an ecosystem where we bring in mortgage lenders. We have like five different financial institutions. We bring in real estate agents like Jay. We bring in nonprofits that help with home ownership. We have HUD certified counselors. We have builders. Everything that a person needs to buy a house, we bring everybody in one room. And yeah, we work with them through those 6 weeks. And then we even have a phase two for those people who want to keep that process going for 6 months up to a year.
That's good.
Now, you talk about home ownership, and both of you are the challengers. People out there, you know, renting, living in the parents' house, wherever, make people invite them to this program and tell them why they want to be there. Some people don't even think homeownership is available to them.
Okay. The reason why I think it's so imperative right now that people really start looking very seriously at owning a piece of property, mm-hmm. because we know the financial climate that we're in. Things are, you know, with inflation and things that's going up, when we're spending thousands of dollars on rent, mm-hmm. that money is not impacting us or the next generation.
Exactly.
So when we take that money and we put it in a home, we're building equity. And I don't care where you're at right now. When I first bought my house, I was under 30. Now, I admit I lost my first house. That's mm-hmm. why I love this program, mm-hmm. because I became what you call house poor. And so I ended up having all my money go to a house. And so we can help people get over those barriers. But what it did teach me was home ownership was possible. And since then, I have bought over 5 houses, and 4 of them, I didn't have a mortgage. So when you get in the right rooms to get the right information, wealth building and economic impact becomes easier. The problem that most of us have, and I'm not gonna say most of us, I can't talk about, you know, everybody, but a problem that a lot of the community has, they just don't know the rules of the game.
There you go.
Teach people the rules of the game, because when you know the rules of the game, you can play the game a lot better.
Talk a little bit especially our younger folks, because we ran into this with my daughter, where they said, you know, you are eligible for so much money, but they went out and hired a friend. The friend said you had to be in this district, and nobody knew what they were talking about. Well, tell them, people, why is it important that you got all the major players in a room to get that education?
Okay, that is a great question. And first, can I take a moment to just thank our sponsors?
Yes,
right,
sure.
Now, because yes, these are the people that's in the community that's helping us make this happen. We have the City of Muskegon. They, you know, offer down payment assistance. We got Lake Michigan Credit Union. We got Mercantile Bank. We have the Opportunity Resource Fund. We got the Livability Lab. Just didn't want to miss anybody. That's a mercantile bank. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So when you have all these different people in the room, different people have different programs. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in that process, you're going to see what tailored to you. Because one thing about the down payment assistance, it can be predicated on different areas, sometimes different zip codes where you move into. So that's why it's imperative that you get the right information from the right people. Because sometimes we'll listen to a friend like, girl, that ain't going to work. Don't go over there. I went right. over there. They didn't right. give me nothing. No. Come and hear it from the people who's offering these, you know, these type of program and these assistants. So don't listen to the hearsayers.
That's good. Fact,
it's two people that we're bringing in to just give their testimonies from last year. We had one person right now. She's building her dream home. We brought in one of the builders, Greg, who, you know, mm-hmm. came in and talked about building the home. They're the Wares. They're getting their dream home built right now. They came to the program just to get the information. They brought their sons. They said, we're doing mm-hmm. generational wealth mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. And as a result, they're building their dream home. They already had a home. We have another person mm-hmm. who was a veteran, right? He took the information that, because we do a maximize your income class, right? He took that information from maximize your income and destroy the debt. And this year, next week, he closes on his duplex. Awesome. So he made it so he won't even have to really disrupt his income. When he, you know, instead of going to all that money going to pay rent, now he has a duplex. He's going to have a renter on the other side. Mm-hmm. And that's a kickoff or acceleration, if you will, to build generational wealth.
Let's go to Houston, Texas. Michael Anthony Smith, define equity. People may not understand what it is.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's a great comment. So equity is the amount of ownership that you build inside of something. You can build equity in houses. You can build equity in businesses. Equity means when you make an investment, the money that accumulates inside of that investment is what you call equity. For example, I'm just going to use a round number. If I have a $100,000 house, right? Say I bought a house for $100,000. Say I've been in my house 5 years. And right now, I bought it for $100,000, but I got my payments now have brought my balance down to $90,000. I already got $10,000 worth of equity in that house. So instead of building a landlord equity, guess what? I'm building my own. Yes.
There you go.
Jay, let me ask you, jump in here. Talk of, you know, ideally, you know, people walk in there and they got a bag of money and you just put them to a house and they you go and close. Talk about why, from your perspective of a agent, programs like this are important.
Yeah. So thank you, Melvin. That's a great question. Last night I was doing some research because a lot of times people will call me and ask me if I have any rentals or, hey, Jay, you got any rent to owns or land contracts? There mm-hmm. just aren't a lot of land contracts out there right now. Mm-hmm. And I point them towards, you know, some of the sites, Hotpads or Zillow, that have the rentals on them. I said, you know what? I haven't gone and looked at rentals in a while because I don't really deal with rentals. Mm-hmm. In my neighborhood, I live in the Steele neighborhood, but Steele, Jackson Hill, Angel, McLaughlin, the rentals for a house are going between $1,300 and $1,900 a month.
Unbelievable.
And if you're paying $1,300, $1,400, $1,500, I have a new construction house for sale right on Amity and Getty. Somebody could buy a new construction house for $1,400 a month. So I would be building equity every month where I'm paying on my own house that I own mm-hmm. versus paying, like she said, some landlord's mortgage and building up their equity. So I always say talk to a professional, right? I don't want to drop names because I know I'm going to forget somebody. Like, but, you know, the only black broker in Muskegon County that we have, I'm a broker myself, but I don't own my own brokerage. But mm-hmm. Terry Kitchen owns her own brokerage, mm-hmm. right? TLK Realty, mm-hmm. You know, Raven Jackson, Chris Simpson. There's a lot of agents of color right here in our community that people could call. It's free. Mm-hmm. Real estate agents, real estate brokers don't have a retainer like a lawyer does. I could call up Miss Kitchen and say, I want to buy a house. She would take the time and talk to me. Somebody could call Jay Kilgore or any of these agents out here and say, I need to know the process. I need to learn the step-by-steps. That's why when I first met Kim and her coming into our community, we went to the city of Muskegon. We went to the community foundation. We're going everywhere trying to get her funding because no one else, since we lost the old Chodo that we have, Community Encompass, since we lost them, we don't have a go-to spot in Muskegon where people can say, I want to buy a house. I've been working at such and such for 10 years, you know, and I, my income's steady every month, but I don't know where to start to buy a house. This equity empowerment program, she's turning people that don't know anything and not only turning them into homeowners, fixing their credit, eliminating debt, teaching them how to make supplemental income. All of those things are built into her equity empowerment program. And it's free. That those are the kind of things where I'm just want to be a cheerleader for Ms. Starks because she's doing this out of the goodness of her heart for our community. But we still want to find entities that bring the funding for her program so that she can offer it to residents of Muskegon Heights and Muskegon, you know, or anywhere, you know, because she's done a cohort in Grand Rapids also. But we need some of these bigger companies to come alongside. If Lake Michigan Credit Union and
Foundation too, I don't know how. But
yes, no, sure. Choice One Bank, Mercantile, any of these big lenders, they're making money.
Sure,
they're going to make their money if I bring them a client or Kim brings them a client and says, "Hey, they want a loan for a house." If they get them approved for a loan, that bank is making bank. You know. So those banks and those entities can come up with a way to fund programs like hers so that we can turn more renters into homeowners.
Would you explain to people that it's never too late? Matter of fact, if you're at the younger end or maybe older, but you're still renting, it's never too late to get the information and be a homeowner.
For sure. I didn't buy my first home until I was 39 years old, right? I rented for years and years and years. Why? Because I thought I couldn't own a home. I didn't know how to buy a home. This was right before I got into real estate. I just learned how to budget some money. I learned how to, and there's with the elevations in AI and different programs and just the knowledge, people can fix their credit. It's fixable. You know, oh man, I got a 450. I'm never going to be able to, what do I have to be at? I got to be at a 640 or 620 or 700, whatever it is. They don't think that they can get there. There's so many ways to fix your credit now also that aren't, you know, that expensive.
Right.
So it definitely can be doable. One of the biggest things that these, for instance, right, you don't know me, you're the lender. You're, we're going to call you Mr. Moneybags for right now, right? You have all the money. I come to you. I say, hey, I want to buy a house for me and my family. I need a loan. But you don't know Jay from anywhere. You're going to say, what are your credentials? What do you have? These banks are looking at us on paper blank. They're not like, okay, he knows this person, or, you know, she said that she's going to get this money then, or they're looking at all of us on a blank sheet of paper. So we have to produce our, almost our resume to these banks the best way possible. There are tips and tricks that we can use to show these lenders, hey, I'm going to pay that mortgage payment. And if you go to classes or talk with a professional, you can learn how to put together basically that resume to show these lenders that you're the one that should be getting the loan. Because she has the numbers for denials. If we look back to like 2024, 2025 numbers, the denials for Black applicants are the highest in the country. They shouldn't be.
Go figure.
Yeah. Right. So I'll let her talk a little bit about the denial stuff, but it's real in the fact that we can learn what to do, what steps to take to get people approved to buy a home.
Yeah. Go ahead. Now, you know, you said that, Jay, and, you know, we don't talk about negative things, but we've had two settlements in Muskegon and Muskegon Heights where people were redlined, which is something we thought ended decades ago. But you know, when you talk about those numbers of people being turned down, that's major, which means there's something the banks have to do, but it's also something people need to do and information they need to have. Even if you get turned down, you know, what, you know, don't quit, don't give up, right? Get back in there. You talked earlier about people You know, I teach my nieces and nephews. No, they know my saying, don't nobody know nothing about listening to their friends. But talk a little bit about getting people, the importance of getting accurate information and going to the right people, things like your workshop.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because like I mentioned before, different programs, you know, their mm-hmm. qualifications are different. Mm-hmm. Now, when we look at the down payment assistance, I'll just give you an example. Mm-hmm. One of Lake Michigan credit union down payment assistance is the home assistant grant.
Okay. But
that comes straight from Lake Michigan Credit Union.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will qualify for $10,000. Some people will qualify for $15,000.
Mm.
And it's predicated on your income. So if someone just says, hey, you're going to get $15,000, you don't necessarily know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it might be mm-hmm. $10,000,
mm-hmm.
or the income may be too high and it's zero. So that's why you want to talk to the loan officers. Usually we work with Mario and Couture.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a phenomenal job, and basically they will give you the step by step on what you qualify for, what you need to do, what documents you need to have. Now, one of the reasons why we created this program, because sometimes people just get overwhelmed with that process.
Sure,
so our job and what our goal is to help you qualify before you even go, you know. But now if you've been denied, please come. Don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because we want to put you with the right agent. We want to put you with the right financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because even if you don't fit Lake Michigan Credit Union, the Opportunity Fund, they have a first-time generational grant where you can get $25,000. If you're the first person in your family, you can. Oh, he said, don't.
I figured she was on the roll.
I'm excited about this, right? But yeah, there is a $25,000 grant if you're a first-generational homeowner, and Lake Michigan Credit Union, they partner with the same type of program, and it's $20,000,
mm-hmm.
right? So people can get them mixed up, cross-reference. That's why you want to come in the room, get the information, or like Jay said, reach out to the lender yourself. We really like to work with people who understand our community,
mm-hmm.
have a love and a passion for our community,
mm-hmm.
and no matter what barriers they face, let's get them over the fence.
I have to go back to Houston, Texas, Michael Anthony Smith. What about the people who don't have $4,000 to $5,000 in the bank to start purchasing a home?
So with down payment, right? Some, we'll just talk about myths in general. One of the big myths is that you have to have 10 or 20% down to buy a home, right? There are programs, FHA is 3.5%. So if I took a $100,000 house, I got to have $3,500, right? But that's just down payment. There's still other closing costs. Same thing, sit down with a professional or a loan officer to see how much. But some of these down payment assistance programs that are out here, they want you to have usually a minimum of $1,000 in reserves. Again, we're paying more than that for rent right now. Second thing is there are home buyers who, if they get with the right programs like the one Kim was talking about, they'll leave the title company with keys to their new house and a check because they're getting money back.
Yes.
So you just want to find the right programs. You don't necessarily have to have $4,000 or $5,000 to start to buy a home. Now, if I have, let's say I've saved up and I have $10,000, depending on where I want my house payment to be, it might be smart to put down more money. Or if I want to eliminate private mortgage insurance or PMI, I might want to put more money down so that I just have a lower house payment every month. So it's definitely a good thing to save money and to have a little nest egg that you use for buying a house, but you don't necessarily have to have that.
Now, when does the program start? Because I know a lot of people I have to call, they need to be in this class.
Yes, it starts. Our kickoff is September 15th. That's a Tuesday. It's going to be at the Muskegon Community College in the Stevenson Center, room 2323. It kicks off at 6 o'clock. Every class is going to be on a Tuesday night from 6 to 8. and we have a graduation at the end.
Oh.
So yeah, we make it big.
Do they have to reserve their seats?
Yes. So if they go to theeecenter.org, I'm going to repeat that, theeecenter.org, and it's going to look a little weird because it's three E's, .org, you can go ahead and sign up right on our website. Where it says join the next workshop, you can click the link, go ahead and sign up. You will get your welcome email, and then we'll stay in contact with you throughout the duration. We've got about 4 more weeks, and we just really encourage people, bring a friend, bring a family member. We always tell people we invite people in to help them celebrate, because even in that 6 weeks, some people, you know, you're not going to qualify in 6 weeks, but you can get the information. And it has been proven. We have had now like 13 people mm-hmm. that's been approved in 1 year. So, and we're just getting started.
Talk a little bit about, because it's so important, of you got to be in a room with for 6 weeks talking to people that's going to help you. But I've found so many people run into, I'm going to hire my friend to find me a house, and then dad come look at the house. The house is a mess. It's a hot mess. But talk about, you know, taking advantage of those situations like this, because this will help people. We're talking about that wealth that we need to store back in our community.
Yeah, two separate things. One is her program, again, it's going to get people economically ready for anything, right? Not just buying a house, mm-hmm. but, you know, maybe being able to save some money to send the kids to college, or maybe able to setting up life insurance. You know, we got to have that life insurance mm-hmm. conversation, because Black folk don't like to always talk about life insurance. All these different things that get people ready financially. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to dad, I've dealt with many a dads in my day. There's a certain pastor in town, I sold his daughter a house one time. Boy, he was rough on it. but we found the house for, and that's okay. People might not always cater to the first or second house, and it's okay to see as many houses. Once you get that pre-approval letter, you're in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. Go see as many houses, put the houses through their paces. But one thing I do want to mention, so I sit on the land bank for Muskegon County on the land bank committee. The land bank now has renovated 6 homes in Muskegon Heights. 4 of them have already sold, and they put in a lot of money into these, so they go above and beyond what just the normal house flipper will do.
Mm-hmm.
The next round of them, they're set to do 4 more in Muskegon Heights and 2 in the city of Muskegon. So whether it's a house that's newly renovated or whether it's a new construction house, people can find nice homes in their price range. You know, some of the price ranges out there, 130 to 150, some are between 150 and 2, and then some are 200 and more. But even at around 240, you're still under $2,000 a month for rent,
you know? Right?
So, you know, the 130 range, people can be under $1,000 a month for a mortgage payment, where right now they're paying, I was looking at some of these prices, $1,300, $1,400. Some of the new constructions that I saw in Angel, they want $1,895 a month. They're nice. They're new construction, 4-bedroom houses, but they want $1,900 a month from folks to rent it. If you're going to pay $1,900 a month, just buy your own house.
Yes.
Because you can find a nice house for $1,900 a month. Now, sure, there's some renters, a nurse, a CEO, a manager comes in to open up a new mm-hmm. something in Muskegon. They might need to rent for a little bit until they find their house or something. And we definitely need rentals, so I'm not knocking rentals. I just don't want us to stay stuck in that rental mm-hmm. rut for years and years and years, because then you look up in this almost retirement age, and you don't have anything, you don't have any kind of nest egg, you know? So.
Yeah. Can I add something to that?
Oh, add sure. Yeah, sure.
So I seen a house downtown yesterday, and, you know, it was pretty good. You know, they remodeled it. It was only $137,000. I know that some of the houses in Muskegon are dropping their prices.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a person qualified for $50,000 worth of the down payment assistance, That's like a $137,000 house that you get for $87,000, right? So we have people, and shout out to the Michigan, the Muskegon Community Foundation. You have people that are really geared, and you know, like the city, doing these type of renovation to houses, because we are recognizing the housing, you know, it's almost like a disparity. It's just people are not being able to get across that finish line, and the help is available. So don't just get stuck and like, okay, I can't do this, I can't do that. The least you can do is come out and see, because when you got this many entities and this many programs and this many people that's willing to help you, something can give, you know, something can give.
Okay, so give us a date, time, places, all that stuff real quick.
Okay, September 15th, the Muskegon Community College at the Stevenson Center. It's a Tuesday night. It's going to run 6 weeks. The graduation is going to be October 20th. And you can come on out, and we're going to make sure we take care of you.
All right. Listen, it's 3 o'clock. That's the top of the hour of the show. Just ready to go. We can talk to you guys for two more hours. All right. Listen, please, please take a chance to be involved in this. I'm going to give you a little quick story. Guy bought a house next to me, and he fell for every story, but he didn't fall. They didn't tell him that part of his house is on my property. So you need to be educated on all things. Take the time to, I'm going to say this week, take the time to encourage yourself to be educated in things that you don't know. Grow. You don't have to be stagnant. Move forward. Okay, that's the show for this week. Take care. God bless.
I'm always available to help people too. As a community agent, I always want to answer questions for folks. Jay Kilgo, you can find me on Facebook or 231-259-9688. Anytime. I just want to be helpful to folks.
I'm going to send that guy to you because he's got a problem. All right. See you next week.